Ronnie, I know you didn't just do that. Okay, Gary, that's not your fault. I'm going to blame this one on Ronnie for making you do that to me. I should have just kept my fingers to myself and not expanded on how big the F5 tornado was in Oklahoma, which was extremely devastating for sure. But yeah, we had a small one come by our house just a couple of days ago, and it didn't affect us here at my house, but thank God, the Lord looking out for us. Good evening, saints. It is my turn to speak, and thanks to Mr. Dillman, he allowed me to take his place. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that, because I'm not going to be available next week at my time. And I appreciate Roger for allowing me to take his spot. And I guess that's what brothers do for each other. But I thank you. And again, it's good to see everybody in here this beautiful Tuesday evening. It's 83 here in Anderson, South Carolina. It's a beautiful day in the Lord. No matter what temperature it is, it's a beautiful day in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and get this show on the road. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day, Lord, for everything that you give us that's in it. Lord, for those things we see and those we don't. And Lord, for those mostly that you have set up on us on high, that was given us from before the foundation. And Lord, thank you for your Son that you gave for the sins of mankind, to allow any man to believe on him to have life in his name. And Lord, I ask that you be with me as I deliver the message, another message of your armor, dear Lord, that we put on, that is you, Lord, that we put on and wear on a daily basis. And especially, Lord, in that day that we face the evil, Lord, we wear that armor. And Lord, I just thank you for that, and thank you for giving us the preparation. And Lord, just lead me and guide me, that I do nothing but give edification to your body. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Again, good evening, saints. And as I stated in my prayer, this is a continuation of the armor of God. I'll be doing Ephesians 6:14 tonight. And I'm going to read 6:11 through 14 just to be an intro into it to get started. In Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You notice against the wiles of the devil here. "And 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And it starts on 14 with "stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." There was a lot of standing taking place in those four verses. The first stand was stand against the wiles of the devil. The second stand was having done all to stand and was standing in the evil day. And then in 14 it says, "Stand therefore." Notice it don't say fight. It just says stand. Stand. 2:4-7:6 is histemi, the Greek form, It's a prolonged form of a primary stetho of the same meaning and used for it in certain tenses. To stand in transitively or intransitively, used in various applications, literally or figuratively, to abide or point, bring, continue, or covenant, or establish, hold up, lay, present, or to set up, to stand, or which properly denotes an upright and active position. It says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. And the loins is osphos. It's the lower region of the back, the lumbar region, as opposed to the shoulders and thighs. I forgot to record. Okay, I got it. I'm sure Ronnie's got it anyway, but this is for my own records. The loins girt about with truth is osphos, the lower region of the back, the lumbar region, as opposed to the shoulders and thighs, of uncertain affinity or relation. If the loin externally, an example, the hip, or internally, by extension, the procreative power loin, as in, let's just say, for instance, Acts 2:28-30, where it was saying, speaking of David, thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou mayest make full known with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulchre with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ. So this is the procreative loins, is being Christ, being the lineage of David. Whereas in Ephesians 6 here, it's talking about the inner loins of our lumbar region. Let's just say your stomach muscle is the largest muscle in your body. So with that, it's also going to be the strongest muscle in your body, properly trained. So when you wrap around your loins the truth, which is God's Word, when you wrap around your truth around the strongest part of your body, your being, then it makes you even stronger anytime you give it more support. As a perfect example from people that I've seen having back surgery, they've actually had plates screwed into their backs. Well, a period of time, the internal pressure of the human body can actually break a steel plate. And that just shows the mass amounts of power that the human body has as the core strength. So when we stand with God's Word in our hand and having our inner part, the strongest part of our body, the strongest muscle, girt about, strengthened with truth, then that's what God expects us to do through the Apostle Paul's teaching here. And just a small example, like in Luke 12:35, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. In truth, the read out of the critical lexicon here, and we know basically truth is basically not a lie. You know, anybody could know that. But it's truth is unconcealed, manifest open, hence real, actual, whose appearance is not mere show, but is the reality it appears to be. That is, whose utterance agrees with the reality and does not conceal it. True as opposed to what is false. Thus, God is truth. It's like in John 3:33. Ronnie just went over this, it was Sunday, a week ago. It says, in John 3:33, he that hath received his testimony, God's testimony, has set his seal that God is true. So, when we use God's word, God is truth. Christ is truth. In John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto Christ, art thou then king? And Jesus answered and says, that I am a king. To this end I was born. Christ was born for this reason. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now the word truth occurs 25 times in John, and is always the lips of the Lord, except for 1:14 and 1:17, and John 18:38, where Pilate says the very next thing, what is truth? Well, I'm sure if Pilate would have just hung around for a second, Christ would have told him the same thing that he said in John 14:6. It says, in 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or no one cometh unto the Father but if by not through me. We'll get into our dispensation, or let's just say we'll get into 2 Timothy where Paul is talking to Timothy. One of our famous verses of 2 Timothy 2:15, but I'm going to read through 19 because there's just so much truth there. Well, I could read this whole book and it would be 99.99% truth, except for a few lies that's put out by Satan. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Thank you, Peter. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or cutting straight the word of truth. That is our admonition by the Apostle Paul, and everybody that's in here tonight does this religiously. We take this to heart. We take this word and we do the best that we can to put Scripture in the proper place to the proper group of which it is designated. In 16, but shun profane and vain babbling, they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat up thus a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth. This is the histemi, the same stand that the very first word in 14 was. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And when God puts a seal upon it, it's a done deal, brother. The Lord knoweth them that are his. and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a 20, I got wrote down here all the way through 25. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee, he's telling Timothy here, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But fueling foolish and unlearning questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledgement of the truth. This is the repentance that the world should heed today. Everybody in traditional churches are into the repentance in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. They don't understand the real repentance of truth. To acknowledge the truth that's in God's Word. They've been blinded by tradition and continue to follow the teachings, the false teachings that their preachers are putting forth on the pulpit. In 2 Timothy 1-7, and the main topic will be in 7. This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and we see this daily, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. Well, now that's on TV on a daily basis. Truth takers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and here it is, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The people that fall into all of these different diverse lusts or daily activities never come to the knowledge of the truth because they don't search it out. They don't follow up what is being spewed out in front of them. They just hear what is said and take it home at that. They don't open up their book and try to find out if it's true or not. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul's still talking to Timothy here. 1-4. Telling Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. To reprove, to rebuke, exhort it with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, again, here again, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and turn into fables. Then we get into the Ephesians letters. Ephesians 1, 9 to 13, such a beautiful teaching here. And I'm going after 13. But I'm going to start in 9 to lead up to it. Ephesians 1, 9 to 13. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, Paul is telling us, faithful saints, according to His good pleasure, God's good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which is today, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are earth, together in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we, you and I, should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted Christ. Who first trusted Christ? God first trusted Christ. In whom ye also trusted Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, then the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth is God's Holy Scripture. We all know that. But to believe it, to study it, to cut it straight, to put it in the place that it belongs, to understand what it means for you, puts you in a sealed position with the Holy Spirit of promise. You can't ask for a better position than that, people. And in Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. I know we all, everybody here, have a problem with the old man. I know in my presence, everybody I'm looking at on this screen, I have not seen the old man. But I know when we get in a traffic jam, if we get in a crowded place, if we get around people that are just totally out of sorts, I know the old man comes out in every single one of us. But we put on the new man. Proving what acceptable. Where am I at? I got carried away. In Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. Oh, 13. That's where it was. Heard the word. After that, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And also in Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then Ephesians 4, 21 to 24. If so be that you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as in the truth is in Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is where I was at. That you put off the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Thank you for getting me up to pace. For God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here it is. Here comes the righteousness, part of the breastplate. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. And having on the breastplate of righteousness in 14, we look at the breastplate. The Greek form there, I was sitting here the other night and was looking at the Greek form, and Candy was doing her thing. And I asked her, I said, in your studies, what is the thorax as far as medical terminology? And without turning around looking or anything, she said, well, I hadn't heard that in a while, but that's the chest cavity. Because her being in the cardiovascular field, I just kind of throwed it at her to see how she took it. And she, right off the bat, you can tell that the thorax is a medical term that surgeons use today. It's the chest cavity. So the breastplate is of uncertain affinity, the chest, the thorax, or by implication, a corset or a breastplate. It's used five times. One time here, and one in Thessalonians. And the message in Thessalonians naturally is to the Jews, but for comparison of the different message in different dispensations, and the other three is in Revelation. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 7 to 10. I'll get it right, Chip. I'm sorry. In 7 it says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And here he's telling them to put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation, which he also speaks of in Ephesians 6. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. You see that? He hadn't appointed us to wrath, like I said earlier. He hadn't appointed us to wrath. He's just telling us to stand and with truth. He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is going to be our wrath. Christ is going to be the judge. We're just going to be there with truth. In 10, who us, this is Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Like I said, this is a Thessalonians book. And in the Old Testament, breastplate is used, every time it's used as a real plate with rubies and such on the chest. And in one place in Isaiah is the only place that it's used as not an actual plate, but as a spiritual plate. In Isaiah 59:12-17, and the prophet Isaiah says, For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stand afar off. I'm picking up something here. This is speaking of Christ. For truth is fallen in the street. Does this sound familiar? And equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. And there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. You notice it says, put on righteousness as a breastplate. Paul is using this same terminology as breastplate of righteousness. And put an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Speaking of the girdle of the loins, I know I'm going back and forth here, but in Isaiah 11, the prophet speaking of righteousness being the girdle of his loins. In 11:1-5, and this is speaking of Christ again. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Well, now Jesse, the father of David, who was by number the seventh son, and the branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit and wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, but after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. This is Christ. Righteousness is the girdle of his loins. And faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. And you could say, as like the reins of a horse gives it direction. Well, Christ's faithfulness, is his reins is faithful. His direction is faithful. In Romans 4:22, it says, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And this, in that it was speaking of Abraham. Because Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. When we believe God, we are righteous. You know, there are people that make themselves self-righteous because they feel like what they just. But if they're standing with God's Word, they are righteous. In Ephesians 4:24, getting to my close here, I'm going to read 6:14 again. But stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. And in Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And in Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's going to do it for my presentation tonight. I thank y'all for sitting in with my confusion and my getting lost in my letters here. But thank you again, Roger, for allowing me to speak. But we all put on the breastplate of righteousness because Paul teaches it, Christ demands it, and God expects it. We hold forth this truth and we stand. We stand against wrong teaching. We stand against false teaching. We use this truth against those things and show forth truth because we're admonished to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, for all these things that you give us in Christ. I thank you for this truth, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with those that are traveling and those that will be traveling to our conference. And I thank you, dear Lord, for Christ, our Savior, who is our strength. Lord, I thank you for all these things, for it's in Christ's name I pray.